Canada stripped away freedoms and tortured the unvaccinated based on hate science, which is not science at all. That is what one author says in her new book, Fisman's Fraud. Dr. Regina Wattiel joins us today. She's a Canadian statistician who took the time to read the studies that the media and the Canadian government was using to implement pandemic policy. And she found she could not, in fact, follow the science, no matter how hard she tried. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Natalie. Glad to be here.
Yes, I finished your book over the weekend, and I want to lay this out briefly so that our audience explains how you got there and just how serious this is in terms of academic misinformation. So in 2022, Canada insisted on keeping strict restrictions and vaccine requirements on its population, even though the science was beginning to show that the vaccine did not impact the transmission of COVID, and then right on cue, this study pops up saying that the unvaccinated are a threat to the vaccinated and responsible for the pandemic raging on. The media picks it up. Politicians use it to implement policy. It's a big hit. But you, in fact, read it and realized that it's not based on population data, which was available, but instead a mathematical model. And you hit the roof. You became what I call a dog with a bone. I love it. You went to the journal, the university, and even the police to point out this fraud. So take me through it, how you got here and why it set your hair on fire so much.
Okay, well, the big part of the reason why I went after this is because my family was really impacted by the mandates and the restrictions. So in the fall of 2021, what we had here in Canada, we had vaccine passports. So the unvaccinated were banned from most public venues, you know, restaurants, gyms, movie theaters. The universities were, most of them were, in order for university students to go on campus, they had to be vaccinated. And then the federal government had its vaccine mandates on federal workers. So in order to work, they had to be vaccinated, and they had also imposed travel restrictions. So we couldn't even travel by plane or train within our own country. It was a very isolating and very hard time for millions of Canadians. And then what happened in December at Christmas of 2021 is we had the Omicron surge. And so the COVID-19 cases soared to record heights despite the vaccines. 80% of the population was vaccinated. Still, we had these record surges, not only in cases, but in hospitalizations. And instead of admitting that these vaccines did not curb transmission, and instead of admitting failure, the government basically doubled down and started imposing even more restrictions. And so that was December 21 and in January 2022. And at the time, they were even imposed additional restrictions on unvaccinated truckers. So the world recalls that sparked the trucker convoy, the Freedom Convoy. And so the Freedom Convoy came in, and it put a lot of pressure on the provinces to relent on their passports and on the federal government to end their mandates and travel restrictions. So out of desperation, the federal government, Trudeau's government, imposed the Emergencies Act, where they basically trampled on the protesters and froze bank accounts and that type of thing in order to, you know, stop the momentum, in order to salvage their restrictions. But they needed to do more. They needed the science. And so this is where Fisman comes in, because when you look at the actual, you know, government of Ontario data, Ontario is the largest province here in Canada. When you look at our data, the government's own data, it showed that the cases, the COVID cases, were dominated by the vaccinated, and that the vaccinated actually had higher incident rates than the unvaccinated. So, yeah, Trudeau was in desperate need of science and justification for his mandates. So in comes Fisman and his colleagues. And what Fisman does is he and his colleagues concoct a model to simulate fake data that shows the opposite of what the real data shows. Fake data that shows that it's the unvaccinated that have higher COVID-19 rates. And then they tried to pass off their fake results as fact. And they use this, fake results to scapegoat the unvaccinated, to provide justification for the federal government's mandates and restrictions. And then media ran with it. Media ran with it, warning everybody of the risk of merely hanging out with unvaccinated Canadians.
Which is so upsetting, because if you look at the study, they don't even use COVID-19 data at all. They say we simulated a respiratory infectious disease. And so the media should have known this is a simulation. They didn't seem to care. They just started running headlines that you put a compendium in your book of the list of headlines about how you're putting people at risk by going to the gym or getting on a train or an airplane or anything like that. So, it's a complete lack of duty by the media, but we sort of expect that. But the politicians who used it to implement policy is, I want to say, more upsetting. You seem upset by all of it, so you can tell me what you find the most upsetting.
Well, right away, when I looked at the study, I was well aware of what the data actually showed, so I knew right away that it was bogus. But it just wasn't going away. Everybody was running with it, and it was so clearly fraudulent. What I found most the worst was when the academic institutions, the research institutions, would not retract the study or set the record straight. They allowed it to continue, and that's really when I realized how corrupted the system is. It's not just the government here. You know, the government is like Trudeau's government is. There's a scandal every hour. It's terrible, and unfortunately, the courts are more than happy to look the other way. But by going through all the, trying to get the paper retracted and going through the different organizations, I realized how deeply involved the research institutions themselves were. And this was overt fraud. It was used to scapegoat the unvaccinated and prop up these horrible mandates. And they knew and they did nothing. And in fact, when you look at their involvement, especially the journal, it looked like they were actively involved in that deception.
So. Right. So you uncovered that the lead author, Fisman, has been on the payroll of Moderna and was given promotions. So was the university that published the paper. They were later given money by the Canadian government in order to continue to research the pandemic. Can you explain that conflict of interest and how that was not disclosed to the public?
Well, actually, a lot of these conflicts of interest are very public. So you look at David Fisman, and he's basically Canada's front man for pandemic modeling. So he was involved in modeling right in the beginning, and he advised all levels of government, municipal, provincial, federal. And during this time, he has a lot of connections to various pharmaceutical companies. He served on a lot of advisory boards. And the university itself, University of Toronto, was in partnership with Moderna. They announced a big partnership with Moderna weeks before Fisman's study came out. And all universities here, a lot of universities in Canada received a lot of grant money from the government to combat things like vaccine hesitancy. So these things were actually pretty well known here. It's pretty open conflict of interest.
Now, you went bit by bit to people to get this retracted to the medical journal, the University of Toronto, I believe, and even the fraud department, I guess you would call it the Canadian version of the FBI, right? Can you tell us what happened at each of one of those?
Right. So first I went to the journal because they published the study and I asked for a retraction. And the journal it wasn't just me who went to the journal. Dozens of researchers and scientists in Canada asked for corrections to be made and that paper to be retracted. But they pretty much ignored me. So I went to the University of Toronto. And the University of Toronto has its own department for dealing with research integrity. So they had to engage in dialogue with me. And at first they just tried to deny that they could deal with what FSMN did. So I actually had to go through their guidelines, research guidelines, and show them exactly in the policy where it shows they have to do something. And then they just tried to deflect it. And then when I, you know, I went back to them, absolute proof this was fraud, backed them into a corner, and they just closed the file. So at that point, I went to the funding agency, because this research was funded by the Canadian government. It was funded through CIHR. So I asked them to investigate the researchers and to set the record straight, because it had been used in our parliament to justify extending the travel restrictions. And what happened with CIHR is the president of CIHR, along with the presidents of NSERC and another department, they got together and they voted not to set the record straight and to not investigate. And at that point, I had been doing a lot of research into these organizations, and I felt I had enough evidence to ask for a police investigation. So I wrote a 150-page evidentiary report, and I sent it to the Ontario Provincial Police, their anti-rackets branch, and asked for an investigation. So they were not open to that.
Yes, you mentioned that the person you sat down with said, I've had four vaccines, I'm fine. Everyone's fine. This is not a big deal. So can you lay out why this was a big deal? Not just, oh, I couldn't go to the gym, but how there are recurring harms that happened. One, because the vaccine was not properly tested. And so we didn't have a risk-benefit analysis of taking the vaccine. We didn't have informed consent. And two, because of the way that the unvaccinated were scapegoated and kept from their freedoms.
Right. So there's a lot to unpack there, because the vaccines, there's issues with them on a lot of levels. So FSMN's study dealt mostly with transmission. And so my book does knock that down a lot, because it was obvious it doesn't curtail transmission at all. And without that, there really is no justification for mandates. And I go with that because if you have a potentially unsafe drug on the market, a potentially lethal, you know, drug, the best line of defense is to simply not take it. So if they take that right away and you're forced to take it, then you really don't have, you know, any defense against this. So in Canada, they made life unbearable for the unvaccinated. It wasn't just I couldn't go to the movies and I couldn't go to the gym, or my kids, you know, couldn't go to restaurants. You know, my two oldest were in university at the time, and they were varsity level athletes. Both of them were banned from the university campus. They were both kicked out of varsity sports. They've never competed again. It destroyed, you know, their varsity sports completely. And they were big athletes. They made it to nationals right before the pandemic was called. My youngest was isolated from everything. My husband, he's a federal employee, so the mandates affected him, and so he didn't work for most of 2022. My sister, she got fired from her position as a heart technician. I mean, it was devastating, and it completely changed our life, but not just our life. Like, you know, millions of people suffered under this and are still suffering. And when I went to, I took part in the trucker convoy, I went to that protest like 13 times. It was so uplifting, because you had so many people together who finally had hope, you know, that something was going to be done. And I met a lot of people who suffered. I met people who were vaccinated and they were injured, and, you know, a lot of stories came out of that. So it was devastating. It's been very difficult here in Canada. And FSMN's study, sorry, do you want to?
No. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
I was just saying that FSMN study didn't just scapegoat the unvaccinated. It didn't just justify the mandates that were happening at the time. You could see that it was laying down the foundation for you know, future mandates. It was giving you the framework for the pseudoscience as to why we should be able to mandate vaccines, not just now, but in the future. And I found that. So I feel I have to do something in order for my children to have a future here.
Yeah. I want to ask you one more question, and then I want to direct our viewers to, this will continue as a redacted conversation over on our community at redacted.inc. I want you to just, before we continue this conversation, define what you mean by hate science and what you think that the average person can do about it.
So a hate science, I'm looking at, fraudulent science done for the purpose of harming a specific group of individuals. So in this case, we had fabrication and falsification for the purpose of scapegoating unvaccinated Canadians and basically taking away their rights and freedoms. So that was the purpose behind the science.
Okay.
Yeah. And what we can do about it, well, what I've shown, and it's pretty clear here, is that the establishment is not going to investigate itself. The establishment is not going to stop doing what it's doing. So I think it's up to individuals and grassroots movements to do something about what is going on here. So I'm kind of hoping that my book, exposes what's going on, but also gives people a sense of validation and empowerment to do something the way I have.
Yeah, it's a really interesting read. I think that anyone who's interested in understanding how we've been collectively manipulated, Canada, one of the worst, will enjoy this book. So thank you for writing it and bringing it to my attention. We're going to continue this over on as a redacted conversation. So on this live platform tonight, I'm going to thank you for joining us. And then we'll continue the conversation after the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.